ذاك الذي من نوره كون أضاء بداره والكل صلى بذكره صلوا عليه وآله.
هو الشفيع وهو الحبيب المصطفى صلوا عليه.
هنا كان الطريق الذي سلكه النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم على ظهر ناقته القصواء، متنقلا من مسجد قباء إلى موقع المسجد النبوي لأول مرة. وهنا حصل حدث مهم جدا، حيث أدركته صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم صلاة الجمعة في هذا المكان. دكتور أحمد، حديثنا اليوم عن صلاة الجمعة.
نعم.
ما علاقة هذا المكان بصلاة الجمعة؟
هذا المكان هو المكان الذي صلى فيه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أول جمعة في المدينة المنورة.
هي أول جمعة في المدينة المنورة ولا أول جمعة في الإسلام شيخنا؟
لا، أول جمعة بالنسبة للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
صلى الله عليه وسلم.
وإلا فقد كان المسلمون يصلون الجمعة في المدينة قبل هجرة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إليهم.
صلى الله عليه وسلم.
فقد روى كعب بن مالك وأنه كان قائد أبيه إلى صلاة الجمعة، يقول كلما أخذته إلى صلاة الجمعة وسمع الأذان استغفر لأبي أمامة.
نعم.
أبو أمامة أسعد بن زرارة الصحابي الجليل المشهور. فسألته يا أبي كلما سمعت الأذان استغفرت لأبي أمامة، ما السر في ذلك؟
نعم.
قال يا بني، كان أبو أمامة رضي الله عنه هو أول من جمع بنا في المدينة في ديار بني بياضة، حرة بني بياضة في هذه المنطقة
أمامنا
عند هزم النبيت. أما هذا المكان فكان ديار بني سالم بن عوف،
هم مستقرون في هذا المكان،
هم كانوا ساكنين في هذا المكان. نعم. والنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام لما خرج إلى المدينة مر بهم، وسمي بعد ذلك أيضا مسجد الوادي لأن وادي الرانوناء يمر من أمام المسجد.
وادي الرانوناء.
الرانوناء.
نعم.
ويسمى أيضا مسجد بني سالم نسبة للقبيلة.
نعم.
ولا يزال هذا المسجد بهذا الاسم الجميل شاهد على صلاة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
شعور عجيب،
شعور لا يوصف.
يعني أنا الآن جالس أمامك ومن يشاهدنا.
نعم.
عندما تقول هنا صلى النبي عليه السلام في هذا المكان اللي أنا معك نتكلم فيه الآن.
نعم.
هنا أول صلاة صلىها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في المدينة وأول جمعة.
أي نعم.
نعم.
تتذكرك أولا بالحبيب صلى الله عليه وسلم.
صلى الله عليه وسلم.
وبصلاته صلى الله عليه وسلم. وبقيمة هذه الشعيرة الله في الإسلام.
صلى الله عليه وسلم محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم.
عندما هاجر النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم من مكة إلى المدينة نزل في قباء 4 ليالي حتى صباح يوم الجمعة الموافق 16 من ربيع الأول في السنة الأولى من الهجرة. خرج النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم متوجها إلى ديار بني النجار التي أصبحت الآن المسجد النبوي، وعلى مقرب من قباء أدركته صلاة الجمعة فصلاها هنا صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، حتى سمي هذا المسجد بمسجد الجمعة. هذه أول جمعة صلاها النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم هنا في هذا المكان، حتى أنزل الله سبحانه وتعالى هذه الآيات العظيمة في سورة الجمعة فقال: يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا نودي للصلاة من يوم الجمعة فاسعوا إلى ذكر الله وذروا البيع ذلكم خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون.
ذكرتني أخي الشيخ فهد وأنت تتحدث عن أول صلاة جمعة صلاها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في المدينة
صلى الله عليه وسلم،
كيف كان شعور الصحابة وهم يستقبلون رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم
عليه الصلاة والسلام
أول مرة في مدينته؟
شعور مش عادي،
شعور لا يوصف حقيقة. يعني إلى درجة كانت النساء والأطفال حتى الجواري في خدورهن
الله أكبر
تخرج على ظهر الأسطحة وتنظر إلى هذا المنظر البديع الجميل وتقول جاء رسول الله جاء محمد
صلى الله عليه وسلم.
لذلك سيدنا أنس رضي الله عنه يقول لما قدم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم المدينة أضاء منها كل شيء.
الله أكبر، الله أكبر، صلى الله عليه وسلم.
بنو سالم الذين نزل عندهم النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام ماذا فعلوا؟ أحاطوا بناقة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
هنا ترى هنا
أخذوا وأخذوا بزمامها.
الآن نحن بين بساتينهم
في ديارهم
وبساتينهم. نعم الله
أخذوا أكبر. بزمام ناقته وأتاه عباس بن نضلة وعتبان بن مالك. نعم. وزعماء بني سالم بن عوف. يا رسول الله شوفوا كيف يرغبون النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام بالنزول عنده. يا رسول الله إن عندنا المناعة والمال والحدائق.
الله
وكان العرب يأتي إلينا العربي فيستجير بنا فنقول له انزل فقوقل حيث شئت.
الله أكبر.
فعندنا كل شيء تتمنى يا رسول انزل عندنا. يترجون النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم للنزول عنده
صلى الله عليه وسلم.
والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ببسمته اللطيفة الجميلة يبتسم ويقول الله. خلوا سبيلها
الله
فإنها مأمور.
الله أكبر الله أكبر.
ما هذا الشعور؟ كيف شعور الصحابة شعور المحبين
الله
الذين كانوا ينتظرون رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بفارغ الصبر.
كانوا يسمعون عن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام وآمنوا به
قبل أن يروه.
قبل أن يروه.
فكيف بعد أن رأوه
الله.
ومر في ديارهم لأول مرة.
الله أكبر الله
حقيقة
أكبر.
إنها لحظة تاريخية سطرها الزمن بمداد من ذهب
الله
وبمداد من نور. فرح هؤلاء الصحابة برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم
صلى الله عليه وسلم
بأبي أنت وأمي يا رسول الله
عليه الصلاة. الله يجمعنا معاه
يا رب
في الجنة
يا رب.
ومن يشاهد بإذن الله شاهد. الله يبارك فيك.
المصطفى صلوا عليه.
طبيب أسنان اسكتلندي لكنه بعد أن دخل نور الإسلام بقلبه أدمن الدعوة وحب الخير للناس وأصبح داعية وخطيبا في مساجد اسكتلندا وترك طب الأسنان. الشيخ عبد المتين حدثنا عن أهمية صلاة الجمعة للمسلمين وخاصة في بلاد الغرب وهو قائد في الكشافة الإسكتلندية. التقيت معه في مركز للكشافة في غلاسكو.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. How are you?
ما شاء الله.
Welcome. My name is Abdul Mateen.
ما شاء
الله. I'm a scout leader here in Glasgow. I'm a father of 4 children of my own. And alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me that 25 years ago. So 25 years now, I've been trying to bring the life of Rasulullah SAW to the youth of the day. We bring the youngsters from the comforts of their houses and we prepare them to go all over the world. So please come and meet my
Sheikh, ما أثر خطبة الجمعة على المجتمع المسلم وما هو دورها الأساسي؟
It should be one of the most effective moments of the week. It comes every week and it's the time where we will get the majority of the congregation together for a moment when the imam can give a message that should affect the hearts of the people. Unfortunately, my experience was when I came from the Taraweeh with the brothers who were sharing in the fast in the Psalm and in the Quran Tilawah, they then took me to the masjid. But in the masjid, I found the masjid cold. I found the masjid not relevant to me. The Jum'ah that I first listened to was in Urdu. It wasn't even applicable to the youth of the community. So the youth were not listening. And the masjid was a mixture of nationalities. So only a few of the elderly uncles were listening to the Urdu. And I thought, I need to see, this must just be this one masjid. And I went to all of the masjids in the city. And unfortunately, this was the same thing.
إذا فقدت العبادات روحها وخشوعها فقدت قيمتها وأثرها على العبد. فبدل من أن تزيد الطاعات من الإيمان أصبحت عادة من عادات الإنسان. فالمسلم بحاجة في خطبة الجمعة أن يتعلم دينه ويسمع ما يحيي قلبه ويصبره ويثبته. فليؤدي كل خطيب ما عليه وليكن على قدر من المسؤولية.
There was no effect on the congregation. I saw the people come in and leave and there was no effect on them. And this was something that really saddened me. Because this is the time where the imam can give that message that will leave them, they will come out of and it will affect them until the next Jummah.
No.
So alhamdulillah, we're beginning to get now in the masjids younger imams who are beginning to say, yes, we must speak in Scottish. We must speak in English. And we must give a talk that even if it may be challenging to the people listening, it is what has to be said. So alhamdulillah, slowly we will see that this next generation are growing up and attending the Jummah, and they are getting something from this Jummah.
Before Abdul Mateen, I was Martin, born in a family with four brothers. We brought up very strongly to the values of Christianity. We were brought up in the teachings of the church. But at a very early age, a child understands hypocrisy and realizes that the seerah that we are being presented of Isa has been polluted.
Sheikh, لنرجع بالزمن قليلاً تقريباً قبل أكثر من 25 سنة. كيف تأثرت بالإسلام أول مرة في حياتك؟
I had not been into a masjid before my friend had invited me, so I knew nothing of what was going on. And once I had tasted the brotherhood and the togetherness in the Taraweeh, I said, I have to go. I need to go to where this is being all the time, every day. And they took me to the masjid, and I said, this is what I need. This is not something I want to do just on Jummah. This is something I need today.
The first time I heard of and met Muslims, my friends at university were meeting together. I knew they were fasting, but I didn't know what they were meeting together for at night. And they invited me. And I went as a non-Muslim instead of going out with my university friends. And alhamdulillah, they gave me some food and we sat. And I listened to a heart surgeon stand in the front of the room. And he started to recite Quran, and they all read the Taraweeh prayer. And I went the next night, and I went the next night. I went every night throughout the Ramadan, and said, this was what I had been looking for. Subhanallah, here in my own city.
Al-Quran له سلطان على النفوس وهيمن على القلوب وتأثير عجيب لمجرد سماعه. كفار قريش مع رفضهم للإسلام إلا أنهم لم ينكروا تأثيره بل ومدحوه. حتى الجمادات بل وأقوى الجمادات وهو الجبل يتأثر عند سماع القرآن. يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله. فكيف سيكون تأثير هذا القرآن على طالب الحق كما حصل لأخينا عبد المتين؟
I came into Islam on the night of Laylatul Qadr, when the Quran had been finished in that second Taraweeh in my final year of university. And alhamdulillah, my flatmate, who became Abdul Karim, he also, 1 year later, on the 27th night in the same house after the Taraweeh, he also got Shahada. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving the guidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beginning to open the doors and open the hearts, alhamdulillah, through those people who are sacrificing their time to revive the sunnah.
Sheikh Abdul Mateen, mashallah, tabarak ar-Rahman, araka multazim bidinik, bihadi al-lihya, tabarak ar-Rahman, wa ma'a hada multazim bihada al-libas wa al-taqaleed al-uskutlandiyya. Bira'ik, Sheikh, hal mumkin tatbiq al-Islam fi kul makan fi al-alam?
Subhanallah, the Deen of Islam is for the whole of mankind. The Quran is hidayat for the whole of mankind. Rasulullah is sent as a mercy for the whole of mankind. And therefore the whole of mankind have to find that thing is applicable to them. The example I often give is that if someone puts spices into the Zamzam water, only the people who like spices will drink that Zamzam. But if you take out the spices and you give the Zamzam, everyone loves the taste of Zamzam. So tradition and cultures vary wherever you are in the world. When I accepted Islam, I was given a traditional outfit by Pakistanis because that's whose house I was at. But I put it on, I felt this is not me. This is me being someone else. This is me. This is what I wore since I was young. This is what my family wear. We wear these at weddings. We wear them at graduation. The kilt is the identity of the Scotsman. Alhamdulillah, this is the sunnah. As I said, the covering of a head is something that I brought up going to church. All the men had their head covered. The women would cover their hair.
Nah.
If you look at the nuns in the monastic life, they have their heads covered. The men, they have their head covered. If you go to a synagogue, you will see the people following the life of Musa. They have their head covered. They have the beard. This is the tradition of the prophets. It can only have been ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as this is how the man should appear. And this is the example for us through the prophets. But as to how our clothes are, we stick to who we are. Be true to ourselves. I'm from Scotland. This is my Scottish dress.
Beautiful, mashallah.
If you don't like it, then not my
like
problem.
It,
Subhanallah.
Allah ybarak fi.
Al-Mustafa, sallu alayhi.
I now understand what my purpose in life is. It's to connect all of the people who are attached to me to this tradition. And to spend my life, not now as a doctor, I'm no longer a dentist. I don't see myself as the father. I see myself as the ummati of the final prophet of Islam. That I am naib, I am deputy of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And my job is to bring this Quran into the lives of each and every person, whether it is one word or whether it's to sit with them and go through the whole thing. That became my job, alhamdulillah. I started to go to the prisons. I started to lead the Jummah in my own town and then to all of the prisons within Scotland. And then from there, alhamdulillah, I went for Hajj, alhamdulillah. And then when I came home, I took my wife, I said, you need to see, because she's not seen even the masjid. She's only been brought up in the households. I said, you need to come with me. And I took my wife and we went in Ramadan for the last 10 nights of Ramadan. And I got to read my Taraweeh in the Hakim of the masjid, next to the Kaaba. And wallahi, that feeling of this is the straight path. This is Sirat al-Mustaqim. This is where the direction that we need to be going. And the whole of mankind needs to face this direction.
I saw me in the fire, and I saw these people as the firemen with the rope to take me out of that fire. My family are still in that fire. And what upsets me is when I speak with the people whose job it is to put out the fire, they are too busy putting that fire into their own houses. They are benefiting. They are taking from the sunnah for their own. I just worship. I do taraweeh. I give my zakat. I give my sadaqah. I go for hajj. I get reward. It's all about me getting reward. This is not Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sahaba finished themselves off. Rasulullah sallallahu finished himself off for the hidayat of other people. That one more person could be saved. Rasulullah sallallahu, he buried them. He said, why are you crying? He's not of them. He says, of my ummah. This is my ummah. Our ummah, it's caught up in darkness. And the people who have brought the light and have been given the Sirat of Rasulullah, they have been given the Virasat of Quran, the inheritance of Quran. But that Quran, that inheritance, gets wrapped up and kept in their own houses. They don't take it to the house next door. Have we been to the house next door?
Sheikh, لماذا أرى هذه الحرقة في نفسك وفي كلامك خاصة عندما تتكلم عن الشباب؟ أرى فيك هذه الحرقة.
The children are all in fitra. They are in connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until their parents make them a Jew or a Christian or a fire worshiper. So our community, our society, tell our children who they are to be. And this is the time where we can have most effect upon the youth, that we can teach them the character and the qualities of the Sahaba who learned directly from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The elder generation, they go to the masjid, they're in their ways, they're in their routine. The youngsters have no routine. The youngsters, they are looking for a direction in life. And when we work with the youngsters and we can put them onto the sunnah of Rasulullah, they will grow up and they will become men. They will become men who understand their purpose in life.
This is the shaitan has tricked us to think that we just need to become monks like the followers of Musa, the followers of Isa. We are the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No more anbiya, no more prophets. The seal of prophets, the best of prophets. And to him, he was the sent the Quran, the guidance for all of humanity, not for Muslim. This is the guidance for the whole of humanity. So Rasulullah, his life is the wadi for the whole of humanity, not just those who followed him. But those who were his enemies, he cried for them.
My effort is not just to do it with Muslim children. Alhamdulillah, my children are Muslim, but all of their friends at their school, they're not Muslim. And I want all of them to know of Rasulullah. I want them to love the way Rasulullah loved the youth, the way that he cried when he had to bury the youngster, the way that he cried when his own children. His children didn't get to adolescence. They didn't become men. The boys, they left in childhood. And to me, that child who lives in childhood, who lives this life, he's one of the inhabitants of Jannah. And if we can work and spend time with children, and the hardest moment for me last year was when one of our youngsters in the Scouts, he passed away. Just after the COVID, he passed away. And I had to do his ghusl, and we had to do his janazah. And people were, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take this young child who was, he was perfect? And this is the answer. He said, because he was perfect. His life up till then was superb. And he has nothing of adulthood, missed fasts, missed prayers, all of the things he may look at, all of the things he may go to in the internet, none of that. He was born in fitra and he was raised, and all of his friends, they are in the same state. If you go to the hospital and you see the ward with the cancer, and you see the mother and the father having to look at that child who's been taken from, they question, why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doing this to us? He says, we don't know Allah's knowledge. Allah is far beyond our comprehension. You cannot put the ocean into a bucket. But understand that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes that child, it's because he wants for him something far greater in the hereafter. He doesn't want him polluted or corrupted with the dirt of this world.
سيفرج بالصلاة علي عرفتك طيبا سهلا عرفت الحب منك وفيك فمهما ضاق بي همي سيفرج بالصلاة علي.
لا رهبانية في الإسلام، هكذا كان النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم متوازنا مقتصدا، لا يحب المبالغة ولا الانحراف، فأمر عليه الصلاة والسلام بالصوم والفطر وبالنوم والقيام ويتزوج النساء. ومما علمنا إياه محمد عليه الصلاة والسلام قوله وإن لربك عليك حق، وإن لنفسك عليك حق، وإن لأهلك عليك حق، فأعط كل ذي حق حقه. فوازن بين أمورك لينصلح حالك، وكن كما كان حبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وليكن قدوتك.
أو تعلمون من هو ذاك الذي قلبي هوى ما كان ينطق عن هوى من غيثه قلبي ارتوى
ذاك الذي من نوره كون أضاء بداره والكل صلى بذكره صلوا عليه وآله
هو الشفيع وهو الحبيب المصطفى صلوا عليه
بكلامه قلب يلين وبكفه فاض الحنين مكارم الأخلاق فيه الصادق البر الأمين
بكلامه قلب يلين وبكفه فاض الحنين
مكارم الأخلاق فيه الصادق البر الأمين
هو الشفيع وهو الحبيب المصطفى